It was the fourth night of Hanukkah. And now, when the Hanukkah flames retired to the shul, they didn't sit and boast about how wonderful they were. They waited excitedly and expectantly for the Shamus flames. It was generally acknowledged amongst all of the Hanukkah flames that the Shamus really knew some pretty good stories. Some Hanukkah flames were even distancing themselves from other flames so they would burn longer and brighter, not because they wanted to be admired, but because they too wanted to listen to the stories that were told on those special, crisp nights. Eventually, our Shamus flame arrived. Everyone gathered, sleeping at the back of the shul, a synagogue, was a student from the Cheder. He had nowhere else to sleep, and so he was a little surprised to be woken by the sound of whispering, warm voices. He listened very carefully. The Shamus candle, our Shamus candle, told the story of how a little tailor who had nothing but courage and perseverance had made a garment for the moon. For the moon was so cold, it had gone to the sun and asked for a garment. And the sun, well, the sun had decided to ask the best tailors. And everyone knows that the best tailors were Jewish tailors in those days, although I have no idea of what it's like now, had gone to the Jewish tailors to ask them to make a garment fit for the moon, so she would not be so cold. Their enmity long forgotten. A question hung in the air, and the Cheder student wanted to ask it, but realizing that this was a special gathering of flames and he couldn't, he waited, hoping. What was the enmity between the moon and the sun? And then it was the other Shamus flame. You remember the little blue flame that they had all huddled round to make warmer and brighter? By now he was positively glowing and golden. He shivered, he flickered, he plucked up his courage, and he answered the unasked question. At the beginning, said the little blue Shamus flame, there was nothing. All was darkness in every direction. You could stretch out your consciousness and feel nothing. Nothing could be seen. Nothing could be heard. Nothing could be tasted. And God decided to make a world. He fashioned it carefully and with expert artistry, but he didn't like it. So he got rid of it. He made another one. He didn't like that. He got rid of that. Several worlds followed and all displeased the creator. Until he made one world, greener and bluer than the rest. He loved it. And this is the world that we live on to this day. He placed it in the heavens like a jewel. It was perfect. But the earth was lonely, and it said to the Creator, why have I been banished from your presence? Why, when all I have is the cold water and the hard stones of mountains for company, I am banished from your presence, Creator. And so the Creator took pity on the earth, and he made the sun and the moon, and he put up plants and animals. He brought forth life and said, soon you will be carrying so much life. You will be teeming with the sound of song and laughter, children's cries and stories. and the earth was pleased. In those days, the sun and the moon were the same size. And one day, the moon became jealous and went to the Creator and said, "It seems ridiculous that we should both be the same size and both give out the same amount of light. No one can tell us apart." The Creator put his head on one side and said, "So you would like me to make you brighter?" "Oh, no, 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 no," said the moon. "There's no need for that. What I was thinking was you could make the sun a little smaller, a little less brighter, and then people would know the difference between us." She was sure that the Creator would grant her request. After all, he had granted the Earth's. But God shook his head. He sighed deeply and said, "This is the most beautiful of worlds, and already there is envy in it. And if I do nothing, it will grow and grow into a greed that will consume this place." He turned to the moon. "From now on," he said, "because of your envy, you will have no light of your own. You will shrink and you will grow, and you will be forever reliant on the sun for your own light." Already the moon felt herself growing smaller. "Please," she said, "please forgive me. And because you thought that your request was as worthy as the earth's, you will forever be in her shadow." "Please," said the moon, "please forgive me. I didn't think. Please forgive me." And when the Creator saw the moon's distress, "I cannot undo what I've done," he said. "But because your remorse is genuine, what I will do is this. Once a month, you will be free of the earth's shadow and shine full and bright. And the Jews, they will mark their calendar by you. And that is why, to this day, we have a different calendar. We don't mark our days from the rising of the sun like most people, but we mark it by the first star of the evening." And as the sun watched and the moon listened to her punishment, God said, "And you will not be alone, for the light that I took from you," and he threw his hands across the heavens, "will become stars that will accompany you always." And so, as I said, we mark our days from the appearance of those stars. We mark our festivals by the moon. And when the moon is thin, we say a special prayer. And that's when the moon is happiest, because it remembers that it's been forgiven. And it will, for a brief moment, not be in the shadow of the earth. The Haider student held this story to him like a precious jewel, couldn't wait to share it the following day. And all the flames flickered their applause at the little blue shamus who glowed bright and proud. And then it was time for them to take their place in the heavens with the stars and the moon. And now, because they knew their story, they felt they were old friends. And tomorrow night is the fifth story, when we hear about jealousy and revenge.